podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Hello, and welcome to Cultivating Calm, a podcast all about anxiety and how to overcome it. Anxiety can quickly overwhelm our lives with stress and worry, but this podcast works to help relieve those anxious thoughts and feelings. In this series, I will be discussing not only what anxiety is, but ways in which to calm the mind and tips on how to cope with your anxiety in new and effective ways. Hi everyone, I'm KJ and welcome to the first episode of Cultivating Calm. As a college student, I am starting to experience anxiety in new ways. I am trying to figure out how to be a successful adult while also learning life tips like managing money, managing my time, and just learning how to take care of myself overall. Even before starting college, I have had my own struggles with anxiety. I was diagnosed with anxiety in early 2021, and since then, I have learned a lot about what anxiety is in general, as well as what it feels like to live with anxiety. In today's episode, I will be helping you in understanding your anxiety better. So, to begin, I am going to start with a few statistics just to put what anxiety is and the effect of it into a broader perspective. The following facts are from the Anxiety and Depression Association of America. First, anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S., affecting 40 million adults in the United States every year, which is about 18.1% of the entire population. Honestly, this really shocked me when I first read this statistic because I didn't expect the number of people who suffer from anxiety to be so high. When we experience anxiety, we may feel alone, but it can be really reassuring to know that there are so many other people out there who are also going through something similar. Also, only 36.9% of those suffering from anxiety will receive treatment. So, why are there so few people getting the help that they need, even though anxiety disorders are highly treatable? I think this could be because resources for treating anxiety may not be available to everyone, and some people may not even know that there are options for getting help with their anxiety. Later in this episode, I will be giving a brief overview of treatments and therapy options available, but I will also be going more into depth on this subject in another episode. Before getting into all things anxiety, I want to talk about the difference between what is stress and what is anxiety. The following information regarding differences between stress and anxiety comes from the Jed Foundation's article, Understanding Anxious Feelings. So, stress is a physical or mental tension in response to a trigger, while anxiety is a response to fear, uncertainty, or doubts we have about something that's causing us stress. Both stress and anxiety can have triggers, but stress triggers can be either external, such as an event or conversation, or internal, such as our own thoughts, and anxiety triggers get turned into bigger worries that are sometimes beyond our control. Stress also is a feeling that tends to go away after a while, and stress levels are usually proportionate to whatever the trigger may be. On the other hand, anxiety disorders do not stop when the external stressor stops and can even cause more stressors, which is why sometimes we may feel like our anxiety comes out of nowhere and doesn't make sense for how we are feeling that day. Generally, a rule of thumb between telling one from the other is deciding if the situation matches the inner response. For example, if you have something like a big test or job interview the next day, of course it is completely normal to feel at least slightly stressed about the situation, and therefore that would be stress. However, if you feel like you are experiencing overwhelming amounts of anxiety or stress without an obvious reason, and it starts to affect your daily life, then it could be anxiety. Determining the difference between if you are experiencing feelings of anxiety or stress will be very helpful in the long run. Now I'm going to move on to focus more on anxiety and the different types of anxiety disorders. There are 5 major types of anxiety disorders according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services: generalized anxiety disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder, panic disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, and social anxiety disorder, but there are also other disorders such as separation anxiety and phobias. I will be starting with generalized anxiety disorder. Generalized anxiety disorder is characterized by excessive worry about everyday life events, even when there is no obvious reason for it or nothing to provoke it. People who have this disorder are usually excessively anxious almost every day about anything in life, really, whether it's social interactions, work, school, health, or even just everyday life. This anxiety can also cause disruptions in your daily routine. Obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD, is characterized by recurring unwanted thoughts, which are obsessions, and repetitive behaviors, the compulsions. These OCD behaviors can range from excessive hand washing to checking things multiple times. These acts provide temporary relief, and not performing these acts can cause a spike in anxiety. I actually have struggles with OCD tendencies, where my so-called rituals consist of checking things multiple times, from checking a bag to an email over and over again, and if I don't check, I get very anxious. Moving on to panic disorder. Panic disorder is repeated and unexpected episodes of panic and intense fear known as panic attacks, and they can cause physical pain such as chest pains, shortness of breath, among many other things. Post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, can be developed after exposure to a terrifying event or situation where physical harm may have taken place, and there may be triggers that spark intense fear and anxiety. Finally, social anxiety disorder is characterized by anxiety and self-consciousness in everyday situations. Social anxiety disorder can range from only being anxious in one type of social situation, such as public speaking, to being anxious whenever there are other people around. Understanding the different types of anxiety disorders can help in understanding how anxiety is not the same experience from one person to the next. As a nursing student, I was curious about what the science is behind anxiety. Like, what is actually happening in our brains when we experience anxiety or anxious feelings? According to Levi Gaddy, the health and science writer for UCSF School of Pharmacy, a part of our brain called the amygdala is partly responsible for our anxiety. The amygdala is part of the limbic system, which is responsible for fear and other emotional reactions. However, the amygdala is not entirely responsible for anxiety, and Gaddy says anxiety is rather a result of constant chatter between a number of different brain regions, a fear network. For example, the amygdala can then tell the hypothalamus to trigger the fight or flight response, which will release epinephrine, otherwise known as adrenaline, and this can cause the physical symptoms that we feel, such as a racing heart or elevated blood pressure, just to name a few. According to a study by the Stanford University Medical Center, the amygdala of patients with generalized anxiety disorder are less connected to other parts of the brain that are responsible for determining the importance of stimuli, meaning that some people with generalized anxiety disorder have a harder time telling the difference between truly worrisome situations and mild stressors or annoyances. Now that we understand what the actual science is behind why we have anxiety, I'm going to talk about some of the causes of anxiety. Anxiety can be caused by so many different things, and sometimes it may be very difficult to pinpoint what specific thing is causing your anxiety. This is because the exact causes of anxiety are still not yet fully understood. However, anxiety can be caused by physical conditions, the effects of drugs or medications, stressful or traumatic life events, genetics, or a combination of these factors. There are many medical problems or physical conditions that may contribute to anxiety or anxiety disorders, like heart disease, thyroid problems, diabetes, chronic pain, and other health issues. Sometimes anxiety can be an indicator that someone is experiencing an underlying medical illness, so it is very important to communicate with your doctor regularly. According to the Mayo Clinic, it is more likely that your anxiety is due to a medical condition if anxiety does not run in your family, you did not experience anxiety as a child, you do not avoid certain situations because of your anxiety, or if your anxiety suddenly came on without a warning, or you did not have previous anxiety struggles. Anxiety can also be a side effect of certain drugs or medications. One of the biggest known causes of anxiety is stressful or traumatic life events. Those who have suffered from abuse or trauma or witnessed traumatic events are more likely to develop an anxiety disorder at some point in their life. Also, stress buildup, whether it's from a big event or multiple small stressful situations, it's a risk factor for anxiety. Some of these events that can cause anxiety are stress about school, work, personal relationships, finances, emotional traumas, or even global events. The final cause that I will be mentioning, although keep in mind that this is just a short list among many things that can cause us to experience anxiety, is genetics. Anxiety disorders run in families, so if you have family members that also have an anxiety disorder, you are at a slightly higher risk to develop one as well. Now let's move on to the signs and symptoms of anxiety. There are so many symptoms for anxiety, so let me just do a quick overview. The symptoms may include nausea, fatigue, irritability, difficulty controlling your feelings of worry, difficulty concentrating, feeling restless or on edge, having sleep problems, and in cases of anxiety attacks or a sudden feeling of anxiety, heart palpitations, sweating, trembling, shortness of breath, and or lightheadedness. I know that this is a lot to take in, as there are so many signs and symptoms of anxiety, but please do not let it overwhelm you. Not every one person experiences anxiety in the same way, but I think it's important to talk about and mention these symptoms just so that anyone who is having these symptoms can get the help they need or be more proactive about next steps. For me, I experience anxiety on a daily basis, and my symptoms on a typical day include a racing heart, excessive worry, being jittery, such as like bouncing my leg or constantly having to do something with my hands, and slight fatigue. When I have an anxiety attack, I have most of the symptoms that I listed previously: the heart palpitations, sweating, trembling, trouble breathing, and I tend to shut down for a little while until my anxiety calms down. This just goes to show how different anxiety can be from person to person, and that you may feel anxiety in your own unique way. That is one of the most important things to recognize. Your feelings and your own experiences are valid. Even when you may feel like you are the only person struggling with anxiety and worries, you are never alone. That's what this podcast works towards: overcoming your anxiety and helping to calm it by developing coping mechanisms and new life skills so that these symptoms can be reduced. Overcoming your anxiety symptoms may be made easier through the help of medical treatments. There are two main types of treatment for anxiety: medications and therapy. Medications may be prescribed depending on the severity of the anxiety disorder and what kind of disorder it is. Certain antidepressants can be used to treat anxiety disorders, but there are also specific anti-anxiety medications as well. There are also short-term anxiety medications called beta blockers for short-term relief from anxiety. Another option for relieving anxiety is therapy. The most common and effective form of therapy is cognitive behavior therapy, according to the Mayo Clinic. It is generally a short-term treatment option that focuses on teaching you specific skills to improve your symptoms so that you can return to the activities that you had previously avoided due to your anxiety. I was in cognitive behavior therapy for a few months, and it helped my anxiety so much. I learned many of the skills and practices that I will be sharing with you in later episodes through therapy, and I couldn't be more grateful for receiving that help. So I encourage therapy, if at all possible, if you are struggling with your anxiety. There are many different kinds of therapy besides cognitive behavior therapy, such as psychodynamic therapy, which is a longer-term approach to mental health treatment, exposure therapy, where you will slowly be introduced to anxiety-producing objects or situations, dialectical behavior therapy, art therapy, interpersonal therapy, and much more. Overall, therapy is always available if it is needed for your specific case of anxiety. If you believe that you are experiencing anxiety, are struggling to manage it, or just need a little extra help, please reach out to your doctor or therapist to get the help you need. In turn, I will be providing you with coping mechanisms and life skills to learn to help ease and overcome your anxiety throughout this podcast series. Thank you for listening to the first episode of Cultivating Calm, and I'll see you next time.